Well, good morning. Feels a little strange to be in an empty auditorium, but I know that you are with us truly in spirit. I miss you guys, Brazos Point. I miss not being able to see you here now, week two of this stoppage. But my hope and faith in God has never been greater. And so today, we're going to be starting a new message series. We're calling it Life Interrupted. Can you guess where we got that idea? We were actually planning to do something different at this time, but Life Interrupted seems right. It feels right now. We're actually going to be looking at narratives in the Bible where people's lives were interrupted. And as long as this stoppage goes on, we're going to have plenty of stories to draw from. Because so many of the most memorable stories and some of life's greatest lessons from the Bible occurred as a result of unplanned events, interruptions in the lives of people and of Jesus. So we're going to see how those unplanned events played out and how they worked out in these lives of people. We're going to start today. Today's message, I'm titling it Sabbath Interrupted. You'll see why in just a moment. If you have a Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. Now, if you're not familiar with where the books of the Bible are, Matthew is in the New Testament of the Bible. That means it's 3/4 of the way through your Bible. So just flip through there, get to Matthew. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the first book of the New Testament. And you'll find chapter 12. Go to there, verse 1, and wait for me there. We're going to put the words on the screen this morning as I speak if you don't have your Bible. And also, if you have your BPF app, you can follow along on that if you're not watching this service on that phone right now. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." Well, here's a good place to stop and set up this scene if you're not familiar with first century life when Jesus was here on the earth. First of all, this idea of Sabbath. Sabbath is, it's our Saturday, but Sabbath is the Jewish holy day. It's a day that's set aside to rest and not work. Now, the disciples were picking heads of grain and eating them. That was a common thing. Jesus and his disciples were obviously on a short walk. And they were walking alongside a grain field. Some of the disciples were hungry. They popped off some of the heads of grain and ate them. No big deal. We have lots of pecan trees where I live. And so it's not unusual if Kathy and I are walking through the neighborhood and we're walking through a neighbor's yard, walking along beside a neighbor's yard, and we see some pecans on the ground. I'll pick up a few, crack them open, and eat them. No big deal. But this was first century Israel. And there were a group of people called Pharisees there. They had laws against working on the Sabbath. The fourth commandment of God's Ten Commandments is remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And that meant follow God on that day, think of God, and don't work. Now, that was a harmless thing, eating grain on the Sabbath. It wouldn't have interrupted with God's laws. However, the Pharisees, now that was a group of very just overly religious people, very legalistic folks. These Pharisees had created 39 more laws to show you how you could break the law of the Sabbath, to show you how you could be working on the Sabbath. And it included exactly what these disciples were doing. So while the disciples were not breaking God's law at all, they weren't breaking the fourth commandment, they were technically breaking the Pharisees' laws. See, the Pharisees set up all these extra rules and laws so that they could show people how superior they were to everyone else, how good they were able to keep all of God's commandments, and actually in relation to that, everybody else couldn't keep up with them. That was their point. That's called legalism. And legalism makes it really hard to live, and especially it makes it hard to live the way God intended for us to live. Well, Jesus interrupted their Sabbath practices. He refuted their accusation against his disciples for breaking the Sabbath. And then he responded to their accusations with some references to the Hebrew scriptures, what we would call the Old Testament, scriptures that these Pharisees knew very well. Look at verse 3. He, Jesus, answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? David was Israel's greatest king. He'd lived hundreds of years before then. Everyone loved David. Jesus did, the disciples did, and the Pharisees did. Everyone loved David, so Jesus used them as an example. Haven't you read what he did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests." Now, the Pharisees knew this story. They knew the story, and they knew that the Hebrew scriptures did not condemn Jesus or his they did not condemn David or his companions for eating that consecrated bread. And the scriptures did not condemn the priest on duty that day for allowing them to eat that bread. Jesus gave another example in verse 5. He said, "Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent?" This was because the priests had priestly duties. They had Sabbath duties, and therefore what they did would be considered work for anyone else. But since they were helping people worship on the Sabbath, they were exempt from that. Verse 6, Jesus said, "I tell you that something greater than the temple is here." He was referring to himself. Jesus went on, verse 7, "If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." That phrase, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," was a third reference to the Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus exposed the Pharisees' complete misunderstanding of the Sabbath. They misunderstood the Sabbath in three ways. First, they added to its regulations. They overlooked the exceptions to the regulations. And most importantly, they completely missed the heart of the law of the Sabbath. God set up the Sabbath so that we could reflect on his goodness and be relieved from the burdens of life. He didn't set it up so that we could add more burdens, more rules to our life. So Jesus continued to interrupt their Sabbath. Look at verse 9. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue. Their synagogue would be the place of worship they went to if they weren't in the temple. It'd be similar to our churches. Going off from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" The Pharisees held that only emergency cases could be helped on the Sabbath. A shriveled hand was not an emergency. It could wait. They were trying to expose Jesus' ignorance of the laws of the Sabbath. But it backfired on them because Jesus exposed their complete ignorance of God's law and purpose for the Sabbath. Look at verse 11. He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Jesus made a very strong statement here that will serve us well during this period of stoppage as life has come to a stop in so many ways, and our worship practices, our normal worship practices have been interrupted during this coronavirus. I want you to remember this and write this down. Doing good is greater than defending rules that miss God's intention anyway. Doing good is greater than defending rules that miss God's intention. That's what motivated us to interrupt our Sabbath practices or our weekly worship practices. We experienced this tension last week when healthcare leaders and government officials urged and called on all Americans to limit our gatherings. That included us limiting our worship gatherings. Now, some felt it was a wrongful assault on religious freedom. Others thought and replied that this is an overreaction and it's capitulating to fear instead of faith. Still others said, "How can we not worship? We would be breaking the law of the Sabbath." But we didn't feel that way. And we still don't feel that way. You see, here's how we see it. By limiting social contact and hopefully slowing down the spread of this virus, we are doing the greater good. What we're actually doing is following Jesus' greatest commandment when he said to love God and love people. Our decision to cancel these in-person services, it's not breaking the intent of the Sabbath. It's not an act of fear. It's not an overreaction. It's an act of faith. We interrupt our Sabbath today to love our neighbors and hopefully slow down the spread of this virus. And that's what Jesus did, loving people, when he interrupted the Pharisees' Sabbath to heal a man. See how this story plays out in verse 13. Then he, Jesus, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Now that's not the reaction you would expect after seeing someone healed of a disability. But actually it is, if you understand the effect legalism has on people. Anger is the fruit of legalism. Not joy, not life, not flourishing. Anger is the fruit of legalism. You see, right now we can't have our church, our small groups, and our other gatherings like we usually do. But we don't have to be angry about that. A faith that can't be interrupted is a faith that isn't worth much. Our faith isn't being interrupted. It's just being refocused here. Jesus interrupted the Sabbath of these Pharisees to heal a man and show that man how much he loved him. Maybe Jesus is interrupting our Sabbath for a similar purpose, to show you how much he loves you. This coronavirus has done much harm to our world, but I would argue that it also has the ability to do much good. Much good can come from it. For starters, we have the opportunity to Sabbath, to rest like never before. Listen, use this stoppage to Sabbath, to rest from the busyness of your life. Take advantage of it. I hope we learn something from this rest, that we don't have to do everything we've been doing. I don't have to watch sports every day. I don't have to watch a baseball game every day once the season starts. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I'm doing without it now, and so I can do without it once it starts back up. I don't have to watch baseball games every day like I usually do during the regular season. Kathy and I can go to the beach and watch the sunset. We can work puzzles at home. We can go for a walk in the neighborhood just to enjoy where we live. Your kids don't have to play year-round ball. They may even enjoy the break from all the practices and the weekend road trips and spending all this time in hotels. They might even get used to it. You can live quite well without year-round activities. You can sleep more, reduce stress, and find your health improving. As I've said so many times before, you can read the Bible more, and as you read it more and more and start to understand it, the Holy Spirit reveals his life ideas and plans for you. The Bible, a biblical worldview, will clear up a lot of the fogginess and all the confusion in our world. A lot of good can come from this stoppage. I hope we reorient our lives so that when this stoppage is over, we don't quickly rush back into all the things that we were doing before it stopped. Now, one of the silver linings in this cloud of stoppage, and many people have talked about it, is that we finally have the time to do some of the things we've dreamed about doing, but never seem to have enough time. And that's a good thing. I've certainly been doing that. Kathy has been doing that. But I want to give you this warning. Listen, be careful. Don't just fill up this extra time we have with more busyness. In our culture, we are so prone just to fill up all of our time and be so busy. There's the danger that we will start some project during this stoppage, and then as time goes on and life begins to return back to normal, we get all stressed out because we're not going to be able to finish the project we finally started. That's okay. That's okay. Sabbath dissolves the artificial urgency of our days because it liberates us from the need to be finished. It liberates us from the need to always be doing something. We don't have to. Sabbath isn't a one-time stop when our world stops. Sabbath is more than that. Sabbath is a weekly rhythm of stopping. Work 6 days, stop. Work 6 days, stop. Work 6 days, stop. It's a rhythm of stopping each week to rest, reflect on God's goodness, and restore or reboot our sanity. You know, perhaps this stoppage isn't so much about life interrupted, but maybe it's more about life refocused, life refreshed, life restored. Let's live. Let's pray. God, you tell us to rejoice and give thanks in all things. And it's hard to rejoice in all the pain that's going on right now in our world. We could list so many things that aren't right with this stoppage. But God, we also remember as we look to your word, the Bible, that you've reminded us that even though you don't cause evil to happen, you will cause all things that happen to work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Father, we as a church, help us to look for that good. Help us to seize that good. Father, help us to Sabbath like never before. Help us to rest in you and rest knowing that no matter what happens, whether we underreact or overreact or however this all plays out, our faith has a solid standing in you. God, refocus our lives on you like never before. Help our faith grow like never before. And help our doing good to others and for others come on like never before. We trust you, Father. Walk through this with us. Show us what to do. Lead us in our steps. Help us to live boldly for you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.